Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. Wednesday. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Wednesday, December 1st, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry, Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist in the world. Call him. You need somebody to help you take care of your teeth. There's nobody better at it than Dr. Mike O'Neill. He's been my dentist for the last 28 years. Make him yours. 317-849-2933 is the number. The Colts injury report is out. Not bad news. It's okay. Six guys didn't practice. It's all going to be good. They all project toward playing this Sunday against Houston. DeForest Buckner, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Andrew Sendejo, Darius Leonard, and Jack Doyle. None of those guys went today. We're getting late into the season. Got the bye week coming up after this Sunday's game. That means that guys are going to go this Sunday, rest up for 2 weeks, and get ready to play the Patriots the following Saturday night. After the bye week, let's talk about reasons for optimism, because it's Optimism Wednesday for the Indianapolis Colts, all right? Let's talk about the Texans first, the opponent on Sunday. First of all, the Texans are 2-9, but that doesn't tell the story as to how bad this team is, all right? They are 32nd. That's last. Only 32 teams in the NFL. You can't be 33rd in anything. You can only be 32nd. That's as bad as it gets. Rushing yards, 861 rushing yard. They are 31st in yards allowed rushing, 1,492, in tribute to the great Christopher Columbus, who brought, as history tells us, smallpox to North America. 31st in yards passing, 1,865 a game. Not surprisingly, they are 32nd and last in yards total, 265 yards per game in total offense. That is terrible. That is a 1,246-yard difference between the yards they allow and have allowed and the yards that they have gained. Over the course of 11 games, that's a hell of a lot of yards. That's more than 100 yards a game. 3.2 yards per carry running the football, but that's not the worst part of it. The worst part is that their running backs have carried the ball 198 times. They have rushed for a total of exactly 600 yards. That's barely 3 yards per carry. They are terrible at running the football. They are not good at stopping others from running the football. Here is something that's absolutely amazing to me. They are averaging only 1.32 points per drive scoring. 1.32 points per drive. That's last in the NFL. This is arguably, in fact, it's beyond argument. They are the worst team in the National Football League, despite the fact that they've won two games. The game that they won against the Titans, what a crazy-ass game that thing was. They were outgained by exactly 230 yards. Texans gained 190 yards. Titans gained 420, but the Texans had 5 takeaways. They've got 20 on the season. If you take care of the football on Sunday, if the Colts can take care of the ball, they're going to win the game. The first game against the Texans was here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Colts won that game 31-3. Jonathan Taylor ran the ball 14 times for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's not a walkover. There's never a walkover in the NFL, especially on the road. You've got to take every single opponent seriously. But my God, really? No, not the Texans. You don't have to take them seriously. The Colts, what's good about them? Averaging 5.2 yards per rushing attempt. That's number one in the NFL. And that's over 2 yards a carry better than the Texans. 2 yards per carry. They have forced 27 turnovers. That's number two in the NFL. They have scored 1.53 points per drive. Again, 1.32 for the Texans. So every single drive, the Colts can expect to score 1.2 points more than the Texans. Each team gets 10 drives, let's say. That's 12 points. Colts, not surprisingly, about a 9-point favorite in this game. Carson Wentz in the first game against the Texans, 11 of 20 for 223, two touchdowns, no picks. Really good. A passer rating of 127.7. Darius Leonard in that game, a pick and a forced fumble. So there you go. If you're worried about this Texans game, you know what? You're a worrier by nature. If you're not worried, you know, you're a relatively smart person. Always worry. Always fear the worst in the NFL. But in this game, I think that the Colts are kind of playing with the house's money. Don't you think? I think so. How about some good news for the Indiana Hoosiers? Now, the Hoosiers, it's true. They lost last night by 2 in double overtime. That's the way it goes. It took them a while to solve the riddle of the Sphinx, that 2-3 zone that Jim Boeheim has been running out there forever with minor modifications. Took them some time, but once they did, they kind of dominated play. They were down 18 early in the second half, came storming back, took the lead late. They wind up tied, go to overtime. Good things happen in this game. It wasn't all bad news. The Hoosiers shot 55%. Here's their line shooting. All right, 55% from the field, 40% from outside the arc, better than 70% from the line. You do that. Indiana does that. They're going to win a hell of a lot of basketball games because despite the fact that they turned it over 26 times, and Mike Woodson, Race Thompson is not the guy to put in the middle of that zone and distribute. He is not a good passer. 7 turnovers last night for Race, 6 for Trace Jackson Davis. The passing, not so good. Trace Jackson Davis brings down rebounds like this, like he's holding a loaf of bread trying not to bruise it. You got to squeeze the orange. This is what they say, and they say it for a reason. Race Thompson has got to take care of the basketball. If they play against another zone, he has got to make good passes on time, on target. He's got to be quick with the basketball and have a better feel for the game than he has shown to this point in an Indiana uniform. Okay, that wasn't optimistic. Talking about the turnovers, not optimistic. Here are reasons for optimism. Last night, 10 bonus minutes of development for the entire team. Maybe most importantly, 10 bonus minutes of development for Christian Lander, who is going to be a really good college basketball player at Indiana. He's going to be really good. He's got to get there. Those 10 minutes last night were really good for him. He wasn't going to play at all. Didn't come into the game until the last 13 seconds of regulation after Rob Phinisee fouled out. Came in, didn't play great, but he played well enough, and he played with energy, man. You get buried on the end of the bench, and you get forced into action by fouls. Sometimes you kind of come a little bit rusty and a little bit lackluster. Not last night for Christian Lander. I thought he brought great energy. Again, wasn't perfect. Missed a foul shot, turned it over a couple of times, but overall, pretty good given the circumstance and an opportunity for him to learn. Turnovers are the easiest problem to fix. Of all the problems in basketball, that's the easiest one. I always go back to this guy, Ken Hitchcock, who was the hockey coach for the St. Louis Blues. And they asked him when he was hired in 2011 or 2012. They said, okay, the penalty kill has been a problem for the Blues. How long is it going to take to fix that? And he said, I'll have it fixed tomorrow. And it was fixed the next day. That's the way turnovers can work in college basketball. You got to learn to take care of the ball. You have to learn to prize the possession of the basketball. There is no physical reason why a team should be dominated in that way. The Hoosiers, obviously not terribly good. They've got a 22% turnover percentage. That's good for 284th in college basketball. That's not good. You got to fix that, but it is fixable. It's not like fixing foul shooting or fixing shooting overall or fixing defense. Those things are difficult. Turnovers, you can get fixed. That's a matter of this. And I think Mike Woodson can get that done. Here's another piece of good news for the Hoosiers and Hoosiers fans. This weekend, they open Big Ten play against Nebraska at Assembly Hall, at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. That is a nice stick your toe in the water for this team and for Mike Woodson in terms of getting involved in Big Ten play. Nebraska is ranked 100th in college basketball in the back half of the Big Ten. It's not exactly the Colts playing against the Texans as far as kind of walkover status, but Indiana ought to be able to, you know, kind of accord themselves well against Nebraska at Simon Scott Assembly Hall this Saturday. A nooner, though, you never know with nooners. But they're more difficult on the road. So I think Nebraska traveling, having to play a nooner, you come over from wherever they used to be, the Ramada Inn, then it was the Hampton Inn. I don't know where teams stay these days in Bloomington, but they're going to come to Simon Scott Assembly Hall early and get a walkthrough. It's going to be a big pain in the ass playing at noon. The home team, I think, has an advantage, and that's good for Indiana because it's Optimism Wednesday, right? Then they got Wisconsin in Madison. That's going to be tough, but they're going to learn, and that's good. Are they going to win? I don't know. Wisconsin's ranked 30th, according to Ken Pom. Indiana's ranked 31st. I'm not worried about it. They split these two games. That's fine by me. Then they got some cupcakes, but Notre Dame is kind of squished in the middle of these cupcakes. And that game, the Crossroads Classic, it's going to be so cool. I wish they weren't putting a spike in this thing. I love that event. It's so cool dividing up Gainbridge Fieldhouse in quarters and having the Notre Dame fans, the Purdue fans, the Butler fans, the Indiana fans. Everybody gets along great. There's no acrimony. It's really, really fun. I hate to see it go away. You know what? I would talk about the guys. We can talk about one, I guess. Micah McFadden, second team via media and coaches in the All-Big Ten deal at his position, middle linebacker. Good for Micah McFadden. Peyton Hendershot was second team All-Big Ten at tight end. With the media, he was honorable mention with the coaches. Matthew Bedford was honorable mention for both. A couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball, Williams and another guy, honorable mention on the defense. My God, Indiana's season from a football perspective, absolutely wretched and not in keeping with the format of Optimism Wednesday, because even as far as I can go in being positive and as deep as I can dig to find positive nuggets, just didn't happen with IU football. McFadden should be first team. They were winless. Indiana was 0-9 in the Big Ten. Nobody on the only winless team in the Big Ten should be a first team All-Big Ten person. If you took Dick Butkus in 1964 playing for Illinois and transported him to Indiana and had him play for the Hoosiers this year, he should not be first team All Big Ten. Pacers, Hornets tonight, 7 o'clock, not Hornets, Hawks tonight. Nate McMillan coming home again to the place that fired him. People always ask him, hey, does it feel, you know, is it nostalgic for you to come back to the place from which you were fired? Usually not. For most sane human beings, they don't walk back into the place where they used to have an office until security told them to pack a box and get the hell out. You know, yeah, I had a lot of good times. Oh, yeah. Now I remember. No, that's not what happens. Chris Duarte, I feel good about Chris Duarte. I think he learned from what happened in Minnesota, got sideways with the official. The official might have been a little bit thin-skinned. Chris Duarte cost the Pacers that win in Minnesota. Turned it from a win to a loss. Right in that moment of ill temper. Can't do that. He's a rookie, but he's a 24-year-old rookie, and he should know better. That game will be the first game missed by Justin Holliday in a long time, more than three full seasons. He tested positive for COVID, so he's on the shelf for a while. Purdue, reason for optimism, Purdue basketball. What are you kidding? You need me to tell you why you should be optimistic about the team that, if it beats Iowa this Friday night, they will be the number one team in the country for the first time in the program's history. Since the beginning of ratings and rankings, Purdue has never been number one. Not one time. All they got to do is win one more game to get to the top spot, because Duke got beat last night by Ohio State. Purdue looked great in their game against Florida State. We'll see what happens against Iowa. I would bet heavily against Purdue. There is something about getting to number one. That program just has not been able to do it, and I don't believe it's going to be able to do it this time. I think they get beat by Iowa because Iowa's got kids who are about 32 years old. They're very, very mature. They travel very well. We'll see what happens. Can't wait. You have a great day. Do what you need to do on Optimism Wednesday to make yourself feel good about life, and at the same time, do something that makes other people feel good. Compliment your wife. Compliment your husband. Make people feel good about themselves just for a little bit. One day a week, can we compliment each other?